song. Thank you, Brother Tony, for that good reminder this morning about the free gift of salvation. I want to speak to you from this passage today in 2 Peter. I hope that you'll keep your Bible open to chapter 1. And I want to speak to you on the subject of the critical path. And so stay with me, please. We'll lay the foundation in the forepart of the message and then pull some truths out of this text. So stay with me. We'll talk about the critical path this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're glad today for the gift of salvation that is in your Son, Jesus. What a great song that reminds us that it's nothing we can do, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy you saved us. So we're grateful for that. Now, Lord, help us, I pray, as we talk from this passage, open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things from your word today. Fill us with power, both speaker and listener. May we all be tuned into you, and may the Holy Spirit have his way. We pray and ask. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Nobody has ever entered into their life's work with a desire to be a failure. I just don't think that has ever occurred. From being a paralegal to driving a forklift, to installing internet cable, to running a business, to fighting fires, anybody entering into any of those careers wants to be successful. And you can talk that about any career that you want to put to talk about. Everybody enters into it with a desire to be successful. Nobody has ever developed an interest in a hobby or a recreational enjoyment with the intention of being a failure. From gardening to fishing to quilting to hunting to scrapbooking to stamp collecting, anybody entering into any of those type enjoyments or hobbies wants to be successful. I haven't harvested a deer yet for this season, and so I am not quite satisfied, all right? And you don't become a hunter, deer hunter, just to go sit in the woods. Now, that's enjoyable to a point, all right? It's quiet. It's relaxing. It's like therapy to be away from noise. But, you know, ultimately, friend, you'd like to have a little blood on your hands, okay? And I know that may make of you squeamish, but that's just the way it goes, all right? So anybody that starts into any kind of hobby like that wants to be a success. Now, I would think that the same mentality would apply to being a Christian. I would think that every Christian would desire to be a successful Christian for a number of reasons, which I won't go into this morning, but one of the first, if I might say, and maybe the most important, would be simply the opportunity to show a little bit of measure of thankfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful that Jesus came and that the gift of salvation, like we just heard Tony sing, is free. The fact that he would come and go to the cross and shed his blood so that we could be saved and enjoy heaven for all eternity. I would like to be a successful Christian, which is nothing more than a follower of Jesus. I'd like to be a successful Christian if for no other reason that he is worthy of my best. For no other reason. He's worthy of my best. Now, I want you to look at verse number 8. Okay, you got your Bible there? Look at verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice those two little words, these things. Okay? So Peter said, if these things be in you. Now look at what he said. They make you neither to be barren. Now what is the opposite of barren? The opposite of barren would be productive, right? That would be the opposite of barren. Then he says, nor unfruitful. What would be the opposite of unfruitfulness? That would be fruitfulness, right? Okay, so Paul said, here's a verse that tells us that if these things are in us, you and I will be productive and fruitful in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that's what you want. If you don't care, then I really have to question whether or not you've been born into God's family. If you really don't have some kind of desire to be some kind of a productive Christian, fruitful Christian, a successful Christian, and that word's relative. I understand that. But let's talk about fruitfulness. Let's talk about productive, okay? Peter said, if you're interested in that, if these things are in you, they make you productive and they make you fruitful. Now look at verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things, there's the words again, these things. So if you lack these things, person that does that, spiritually speaking, is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Now, I don't want to be any of those, spiritually speaking. Do you? I don't want to be blind. I don't want to be nearsighted. And I don't want to forget that I have been forgiven from my old sins. Now, folks, look, put those two verses together. If the presence of these things makes us fruitful, and the absence of these things makes us unfruitful, then we probably ought to find out what these things are. Don't you reckon? Okay, so if these things make us productive, and the lack of these things makes us spiritually unproductive, then we probably ought to find out what these things are and get interested in these things that make us productive. Well, these things are listed for you and me in verses 5, 6, and 7. All right? You can circle the word these things in verse 8, the words these things in verse 9, and draw a line in your Bible back to verses 5, 6, and 7. Okay? These things are listed there. By the way, it doesn't hurt to mark your Bible. It's not unreligious, or what's the word? It's not irreverent to mark the pages of your Bible, okay? It's okay to do that. The paper is not what's inspired. It's the words, okay? And so you want to be knowledgeable about your Bible. So if you like to mark your Bible, it's a good thing. There are eight elements listed in verses 5, 6, and 7. Relax, I'm not preaching on all eight of them today, all right? You have eight things. Now, the first one is foundational. The other seven are added to the first one. Now, watch me. If these eight elements are found in me, and if these eight elements are found in you, God said they would make us productive and make us fruitful. That's what God said. You reckon God knows what He's talking about? Okay. So, if these things are in us, I don't have to make myself. If these things are in me, they make me. Okay? And if these things are in you, then they make you. They make us productive and they make us fruitful. Now, before I look at a couple of lessons about these things listed in verses 5, 6, and 7, there's something important that we must understand, and I want to explain it to you by way of illustration this morning. Those of you that have been around here for a few years know that this auditorium was our first building project, along with remodeling what is behind or outside those doors out there. We remodeled and we built a parking lot. Before this was here, folks, we had a little bit of asphalt that had, I believe, 51 parking places on it, and the rest was dirt and gravel and stuff. And so we built this auditorium and then remodeled that first floor and added the parking area. And then we had a second building program, which was to redo the school and gym building across the parking lot over there. In the first building program, I learned about something from Brother Dennis Kalson, who is a godsend to our church. I learned from Brother Dennis Kalson about something called the critical path. The critical path, okay? I'm going to need some help this morning. Aiden, would you help me this morning? I'll get some younger fellows here to help me this morning. If you just stand right down here, please, sir, with this sign. Just hold it there for a second. Why don't you stand on the bottom floor there, okay? Go ahead and line up some guys next to you. The critical path. All right, now listen very carefully. In a building program, there are all kinds of trades involved in putting a building up. There are framers, there are roofers, there are masons, iron workers and drywallers and men that work with concrete and electricians and plumbers and mechanical people working with the heating and air conditioning and excavators and painters and floor coverers. And I'm not even touching all of them. There are all kinds of trades involved in making a building, putting a building together, okay? Now, the day that a building project begins, only a couple of the trades show up. All of those trades don't show up on the first day at the same time of the building project. And basically, when a project begins, the excavators show up, and they're the only ones that show up. That's because the general contractor has established a critical path. He knows that this building project is going to take 12 months. And so he sits down with the building project on blueprint, and he puts together the critical path. What is the critical path? The critical path is, on the first day when the project starts, the excavators show up. Folks, what if the painters showed up on the first day? They come walking in with their paint buckets and their brushes and their paint clothes on, those white suits, you know, and their long poles. And the general contractor says, what are you doing here? Well, we're part of the building program. We've been hired as a part of the project here. When are we starting? Well, it'd be good to have some walls up first, don't you think? It might be helpful to have some walls up for you to paint. The painters don't show up on the first day. They don't show up when the excavators do. And all throughout the 12-month project, the general contractor has a timeline of who shows up when. Let me get to Trevor, if you would please help me this morning. Then I'll get Trent and then Jason. Come on down. I saw you this morning. I thought I'd use you and get you up here in a minute. Okay, so stand up here next to Aiden, if you would please, and hold up the word foundation. The critical path begins with the foundation of the building. Okay, excavators show up, start moving dirt, and they start getting ready to dig some trenches for the footings and so forth, because the foundation is the first part of the building project. Okay, come on, Trent. Then after that, sometime later, now I'm skipping some trades for sake of time this morning, okay? Sometime down this critical path timeline, hold it up good and tall there, Trent, the framers are going to show up, okay? That's the guys, shoot this way just a little bit, that's the fellows who build the walls, okay? They put the walls of the first floor together, they put walls of the second floor, they even sometimes will frame out the roof and put the trusses in place. The framers show up, okay? And then somewhere else down the timeline, the painters are going to show up. Now, the painters know that they don't come until the framers are done, and the framers know they don't show up until the foundation is laid, because we have this thing called the critical path. Y'all with me so far, okay? We got a critical, you boys okay down there this morning? Okay, good, very good. It's called a critical path. Now, this is how it happens in a building program. And Brother Dennis and I would sit there with the contractor, and he would show us by way of graph, bar graph, which trades were coming. And by the way, some trades come and go. When the foundation is laid, sometimes the electricians are there to run conduit in the concrete. Or the plumbers are there to put PVC pipe in the conduit, okay? And then they come back later on to put the toilets in, okay, and the sinks and so forth. So some trades come and go, but they all follow a critical path. Now, folks, listen very carefully. The order of these things is absolutely vital. And there is no wiser general contractor than God. And God has told us in 2 Peter chapter 1 how to build a productive, fruitful Christian life. And He's given us a critical path to follow. He's given us a critical path to follow. Now I want you to notice, let me say some things here. Number one, the first element is foundational, okay? The first element is foundational, because just like over here, just like in the building program, in the critical path, the first thing is the foundation, okay? So in building the Christian life, the first element is foundational. Look at verse number one, and you will see the first element. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. If you'd like to mark your Bible, circle the word faith. Brother Trevor, turn your card around for me, okay? So in the Christian life, following the critical path, the first element, the foundational element, is faith. What's he talking about there, folks? He's talking about salvation. He's talking about being saved. That's what he's talking about. In verses 1 through 4, Peter talks about being saved. By the way, did you see the word obtained? Salvation has to be obtained. Nobody is born saved. Nobody's born into this world saved. Okay? It's just the opposite. We're born into this world lost. And after we come into the knowledge, somebody starts teaching us from the Bible about our sin and the wages of our sin and the payment of our sin and the fact that Jesus came. And the way you obtain salvation is that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He went to an old rugged cross and died. They took His body off the cross and buried it. And 3 days and three nights later, He rose again. It's called the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And through that, we have the free gift of salvation. The way you obtain it is to receive it free. You receive it free. If you're saved this morning, you received it as the free gift of God. If you're trying to work your way to heaven, you will never get there. So in this critical path, now watch me, we're talking about the desire to be a productive, fruitful Christian. And God has given us a list of things that if they're in us, they make us productive. They make us fruitful. But there is a critical path. Okay? There's a critical path. You have to start with salvation. Listen, folks, listen very carefully. There are people, now don't miss this, there are people who claim to be saved, and yet they are unfruitful and unproductive and unhappy because they're trying to build without a foundation. You can't build on no foundation. You've got to build on the foundation of salvation. I remember the building project so clearly and how Dennis would reiterate over and over again. He would drive it home. He'd say, Pastor, the foundation has got to be right. The foundation can't have water issues. The foundation has to be square. The foundation is absolutely vital. And man, he would put the toes of the general contractor and the architect, he'd put their feet to the fire about the foundation. And after we get through with the meeting, he'd say, Pastor, I hope you're not mad at me. You think I'm too hard. The foundation's got to be right. And folks, that's true about a building. You know it is. Now listen, if salvation, folks, for you and me to build a Christian life that's productive and fruitful, the foundation has to be right. The foundation is our salvation. Are you saved? Okay. If you're not saved, trying to live a Christian life is like building a house with no foundation. Okay? You're not going to be very successful at it. And so here, the first element is absolutely vital. The foundation is vital. Look, there are people in this world who are really hungry for anything with substance and meaning. Do you know that? I don't know if you know that or not, but I believe that with all my heart. We have a world full of people who are hungry for something that has substance and meaning to it. Well, I want to get into that this morning. I had a thought just come to my mind. But you don't always have to say everything that comes to your mind, okay? There's people out there whose lives, their family lives are in an absolute mess. Sometimes they live in the neighborhood with a Christian family. They watch a Christian family come and go. They watch a Christian family interact with each other. They see a Christian mom and dad having a good relationship. They see the parents and the Christian kids in a good relationship. They see the family working together and raking leaves together and playing a game of ball out in the yard. And they see them come and go to church and they feel like there's something in that family of substance. There's something in that family that absolutely has some substance to it. And boy, how we'd like to have that. And they look at that family and they think, you know, that family goes to church. So that's what we need to do. We need to go to church. And that family is conservative. So that's what we need to do. We need to be conservative. And so they start going to some church somewhere and they start trying to have conservative values and everything because they see something substantial in that Christian family. And folks, you know what's sad about that is they'll never find what they're looking for by just going to church and being a conservative. Oh man, I'm against abortion. Yeah, a lot of folks are. That doesn't mean they're saved. Well, I'm against homosexuality. I know the Bible is too, but that doesn't mean you're saved just because you're against homosexuality. You understand what I'm saying this morning? There are people who equate success and fruitfulness and productivity with the things that people are doing. And that's a part of it, but that's not the most important part. The most important part is they're saved. They're members of God's family. They have different values and different morals because they belong to God. Are you with me this morning? So you've got to have salvation right. The faith has to be right. It's got to be right. All right, now, number two. Once you get the faith right, once you're saved, faith is supposed to be built upon. Faith is supposed to be built upon. Look at verse number 5 where it says there, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now again, what is faith? Faith is salvation. Add to your faith. Add to salvation. Isn't that what the Bible says? Add to it. So faith is to be built on. And he says this in verse number 5, giving all diligence. Do you kind of get the idea that God says we're supposed to work pretty hard at this? He's saying, well, you know, it's kind of an option. If you want to do anything after you get saved, you can just kind of maybe take your salvation seriously. Maybe not. It's okay with me. Yeah, I don't read that in that verse right there. What I read is that God expects us to work pretty diligently to make sure that we start adding to our faith. Right? Okay, so let's keep going here. What does it say? So the foundation is in place. Faith is salvation is there. So he adds. The first thing he says is, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. All right, let's turn your paper around. So this is the critical path. I am saved. The foundation is right. Now the foundation is in order. It's time to add to the faith, add to my salvation, virtue. That's what the Bible says, right? Now, what is virtue? What is virtue? Now, wait a minute. That's important because in the critical path, it's the first thing I add to salvation. You say, well, I'm not sure what virtue is. Let's go to the next thing. Whoa, time out. That's like the painter showing up before the framer. You with me this morning? I tell you, I am burning up in here. I don't know if you are. People have. Is the fans on in here, Brother Joe? Okay, good. It's stale air. Spurgeon said nothing kills a service like stale air. You got a lot of hot air coming from me, so it's getting bad up here. Okay, all right. Now, okay, the foundation's in place, and God said, add to it virtue. I'm trying to make this as absolutely interesting as I possibly can with visual aids. Put my all into it, folks. If you want to get it, you're gonna have to listen. Okay, so here we go. He said, add to your faith virtue. Now, what is virtue? Well, the word is used in verse number 3. He had called us to glory and virtue. And you say, well, let's let the Bible define the word. Can we do that? That's a good way to learn Bible terms. Turn over to Proverbs. Hold your finger here in 2 Peter 1. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31 this morning. Proverbs chapter 31. Let me say this while you're finding the book. You boys doing okay? These guys doing a good job down here, right? Okay, very good. You know, boys are antsy. Boys' legs on boys want to run. You know that? They want to run. They want to move. They don't like sitting still. But these guys are doing a good job. Now, while you're turning to there, Proverbs 31, the first time the word virtue is used is in Ruth chapter 3. And Ruth is called, watch this, a virtuous woman by Boaz. But I want you to look here at a more familiar passage in Proverbs 31. Look at verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? That's a good question, right? For her price is far above rubies. Now, I want you to notice the words beginning in verse number 12. I want you to notice the verbs. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh and worketh. Verse 14, she bringeth. Verse 15, she riseth. Verse 15, she giveth. Verse 16, she considereth. Verse 16, she buyeth. Verse 16, she planteth. Verse 17, she girdeth. Verse number 17, she strengtheneth. Verse 18, she perceiveth. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Verse 20, she stretcheth. And verse 20, she reacheth. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings. Look at verse number 24. She maketh and selleth and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. In verse 26, she openeth her mouth. Verse 27, she looketh. Verse 27, eateth not. Look at verse number 29. Many daughters have done virtuously. Done. Now he asked the question, who could find a virtuous woman? And then at the end of the text, he said, many daughters have done virtuously. Folks, it's not rocket science. What we just read right there is a list of things that make a person virtuous. Virtue is doing. Virtue is not being. Virtue is what I do. Virtuous being is what he said. He said this is a virtuous woman. And he put all these verbs in here, went down through all of these verses. And then he wrapped it all up by saying she hath done virtuously. It kind of sounds like virtue involves doing. I love Webster's 1828. His definition says this. Virtue is nothing but voluntary obedience to truth. Voluntary obedience to truth. Well, that leads us to another question. Where do we find truth? Where? Word of God. So if virtue is the voluntary obedience to truth, it kind of sounds like if I'm going to add virtue to salvation, I better find out what the Bible says and not just hear it. I better do it. You realize, folks, that some people equate virtue with just sitting and listening. I did a virtuous thing today. I went to church. No, no, no. Virtue is defined as doing. She hath done virtuously. And you go through all of those verbs in that passage. Reacheth, stretcheth, doeth, maketh, selleth, buyeth, planteth. All these things. You don't do virtuously just because you sit and listen. We do virtuously when we find out what the truth says and obey it. Now we're talking about virtue. I'm supposed to add that to faith. So after I get saved, I should probably find out what the Bible says and obey it. If I'm going to be productive and fruitful, if these things are going to be, if these things make me, I got to find out what these things are. Okay, well, I got to get salvation right. That's the foundation. Faith, salvation is the foundation. Now I got to take virtue, and virtue is the voluntary obedience to truth. So I got to find out what, you know, folks, listen, I'm just going to put the beans right down where everybody can get it hopefully this morning. When I got saved, somebody said, they said, you know what you need to do now? What? Get baptized. Okay, I'll do it. Now you need to go to church. Okay, I'll do it. Then join the church. Don't just go to church, join the church. Okay, I'll do it. And now you need to read your Bible. Okay, I'll do it. Now you need to pray. Okay, I'll do it. Now you need to witness with the Lord. Okay, I'll do it. Now you need to obey your parents. Okay, I'll do it. Now you need to listen to some good music. Okay, I'll do it. Now you need to dress like a man distinctively. Okay, now you don't need to drink anymore. I won't do it. You don't need to gamble. You need to have good music. Virtue is the voluntary obedience to truth. Look, if I say, hey, fellas, some of you guys that can drive, Nick can drive, Levi can drive. So if I say to Levi and Nick, fellas, I need a couple guys to go to Champaign to pick up something for me this afternoon, drive down an hour and bring it back. And Levi says, okay, I'll do it. And then I say, look around, Nick, would you go? And Nick says, sure, I'll go. Are they both doing right? They're both being helpful, right? Did both of them volunteer? I asked Nick to do it, and he said, okay. When I said I need somebody to go, Levi said, I'll do it. That's volunteer. For me to go over and ask Nick, he's responding to a person, he's responding to a request. Nothing bad about that, but it's not volunteering. Volunteering is, I'll do it. Voluntary obedience to truth. After you get saved, you should join a church. Okay, I'll do it. After you get saved, you ought to get baptized. Okay, I'll do it. After you get saved, you ought to witness for Christ. Okay, I'll do it. This is virtue. This is the voluntary obedience to truth. We're talking about making the Christian life productive and successful. Not just using it as a fire escape from hell. Okay? So, we add to faith. We start adding to faith. Okay, God, I'll do it. Okay, God, I'll do it. Now, let me hasten to say, number three, quickly this morning, I must follow the critical path. So we're back here to 2 Peter chapter 1. We got our foundation, which is faith. We're adding to it virtue, which is the voluntary obedience to truth. If somebody can show you from the Bible that the Bible says this is what you ought to do, our response ought to be, okay, I'll do it. All right, now. Look at the next one. Turn yours around, Jason. Please, sir, if you would. He says, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, what? Knowledge. Look, when I got baptized, I didn't know all that baptism meant. I didn't have to. What I had to do was be obedient. When I joined a church, I didn't understand or know all that joining a church meant, but I didn't have to. When I was told to read my Bible, I didn't understand all that reading my Bible meant, but I didn't have to. Because virtue is the voluntary obedience to truth. When I was told to pray, I didn't understand all that prayer does, but I got a little bitty piece of paper out about the size of this napkin and wrote on it some things to pray about. I didn't know all that prayer did for the Christian, but somebody said we should pray and proved it from the Bible, and so my attitude was, okay, I'll do it. And then guess what, folks? After I did it for a while, I started to learn. Oh, that's what baptism means. And that's what church membership is. And that's what praying does. And that's what Bible reading does. But the knowledge didn't come till after the virtue was in place. Now, we got it reversed in this society. We want to know Why? Got to get baptized. Why do I have to do that? Well, you read your Bible. Well, why do I have to do that? Why are you supposed to pray? Well, why do I have to pray? Show me. Turn your paper around. That's like painters showing up before framers. You say, well, that didn't make any sense. Neither do you. Neither do you. But I didn't write the book. God wrote it. God put the critical path together, not me. So God said, here's what you do. You get saved, and then you get saved. Once you get saved, you get that in place, and then you add to your faith. Turn your papers around there, fellas, please. You add to your faith virtue, and once you start, man, you start obeying what the Bible says, then knowledge is going to come down the road. You're going to hear preaching. You're going to read the Bible. You're going to have devotions. The Holy Spirit's going to say, this is why you do what you do. But friend, to take the attitude that, no, somebody has to show me before I'll do anything, is saying, you know, I'm the painter is going to show up before the framer does. Listen, my wife and I gave birth to children and started rearing children. We learned and read from the Bible and good Christian books and listening to preaching and learning from other people about how to rear children. And I'm not sure I understood everything when I was a young parent. About why we did this and why we did this and why we did that and why we did this. But the older we got and the older our kids got, the more I understood that's why they told us to do that. And that's why God said to do that. And now I have a lot better understanding. But what if I had waited till I understood? What if I had waited till the light came on before we ever implemented biblical child-rearing principles? You say, this is heavy. It's supposed to be heavy. It's okay. Church is not supposed to be all hee-hee-ha-ha, warm, fuzzy. Yeah, feels good. It's okay. This is helpful. Folks, this is what God said. God said, here is a way to be a productive, fruitful Christian. If you will take these things and if you'll make sure you implement them in your life, they make you. Look, God knows my heart right now. If you think I'm boasting and bragging, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say this because, listen, my wife and I have 5 married children that we're very thankful for this morning. And friend, you're not looking at the reason for it, and she's not the reason for it. It's that book right there. It's the principles. They make you productive. They make you fruitful. It's their byproduct. It happens. I can't have the attitude, well, why? Look, isn't the question... when I said, okay... You want me to join a church, be a member? Okay, I'll do it. And then I come back and say, now I understand why I had to join a church, why I was supposed to join a church. Isn't that a whole different attitude of saying, this is what you hear. Well, why do I have to join a church? There's just something wrong with that question. Isn't that? Well, why do I? It's almost like I'm putting God on the spot. You owe me an explanation. Go ahead, you treat God that way if you want to. He doesn't owe me the next breath. He ain't owe me nothing. I'll promise you, the productive, fruitful, happy people in life are the ones, switch it back here, fellas, if you would, please, are the ones who say, okay, I'm saved. Now, what is truth? And if that book is true and it tells me to do this, okay, I'll do it. And I'll obey God even if I don't understand. And if you do that long enough, friend, the day will come where you'll get the knowledge. Thank you, fellas. These guys did a great job today. Thank you, boys. They've been standing up here a long time. You want to be a productive Christian? You want to be a fruitful Christian? If these things be in you, they make you. But there is a critical path that must be followed. And I'll promise you, on February 29th, it was a leap year, I'll never forget it, February 29th, 2000, right here, underneath this floor right here, when the excavators showed up with their bulldozer and started pushing the dirt that this floor sits on, it didn't surprise me that they were the first ones on the job. If the painters had showed up, I'd have gone, what are you guys doing here? We're here to paint. That's great. I hope you brought a stick or canvas or something. Because there's a critical path to follow. Critical path. And friend, let me just encourage you. Are you saved? I'm saved, Pastor. What attitude should I have now? Okay, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. And obey the Lord. You won't be sorry. And someday, you'll understand why. It'll come. And you'll be so glad you obeyed. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I appreciate your attention. I wonder this morning, who is here would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I'm saved and I know it, but I would love to be a productive, fruitful Christian. And really, I'm wondering if I lack some effort in this matter of virtue and just obeying God and saying, okay, I'll do it. If you're like that today, Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up in the air? Let me pray for you this morning, wherever you may sit. I see your hand. God bless you. Is anybody? Yes, God bless you. I appreciate that. You may take your hand down. Anybody else? I should be included in that number. Pray for me. All right, very good. How many here would say today, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know that for sure. And I'm not ashamed to testify about that by raising my hand, saying I'm saved and I know it. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the room? I appreciate that. I'm saved and I know it. Thank you. If you're here this morning, you're saved and you know it. That's wonderful. If you're not sure that you're saved, maybe you would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand just then, but I will now to say that I am not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that in the room this morning? Not sure I'm saved. Anybody? All right. Anybody here this morning, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I've not followed the Lord in that first step of baptism, so pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Need to be baptized. God bless you. Somebody else? Anybody else? All right. If you want to take that first step, you know, this would please God. You can do that. That would be wonderful. If I'm a child, if I'm a Christian, I want to be productive and fruitful for Christ, then I want to get busy adding these things to my life, putting virtue, knowledge, and then the other things that he listed there, and they make you successful. They make you fruitful. They make you productive. Father in heaven, help us, I pray, to grab a hold of this truth today and implement it in our lives, please. That's my prayer. I want to have a life that brings you honor and glory as a Christian, please. I pray that same desire will engulf all of us, God. We'll be happy to live for you in Jesus' name.